Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Boy, do we have news. There's a lot of stories, but what I want to start with today is that the top military officials are testifying before Congress on the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And we're learning a lot. I don't think that's their intention, is to shed light on this. But inadvertently, these people are telling us just how incompetent this administration truly is, and just how incompetent these top military officials are. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing to watch. It feels like a bunch of kids who got caught skipping class and are trying to explain it to the principal. There's a lot of stammering. There's a lot of kind of blank stares, a lot of silence. A lot of these questions are being met with silence by General Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin. So it's pretty telling that our defense secretary and the Joint Chiefs of Staff don't have a lot of answers for these very important questions. And keep in mind, they've had quite some time now to get their acts together, to get their story straight. And there's a few parts of this that are gaining a lot of traction in the news right now. I would like to start with the phone call that General Mark Milley had with his Chinese counterparts. And before we even play the sound, let's have a little refresher here. The book Peril, which I don't even know if it's out yet. I think it was supposed to be out in late September, but that's how these books work. You know, the breaking news gets splashed all over and then the actual book doesn't get as much press. But they broke the news that General Mark Milley called his Chinese counterparts and basically tried to assuage them and let them know that nothing bad was going to happen and we weren't going to attack and yada, yada, yada. It was very inappropriate. Some people said it was treasonous. And the U.S. commander-in-chief phoned his Chinese counterpart twice to reassure him that the two countries wouldn't go to war at once. And people were really shocked by this because there was some talk about whether it was true. I mean, it is Woodward and Costa, so, you know, there were skeptics. But it became pretty clear that this was accurate and that because of January 6th, that's what Milley uses as his excuse. He thought it appropriate to step out of line and go above the president of the United States. And we're having Stephen Miller on in the show a little bit later. And he had a really great piece and pointed out what a lot of people noticed, which is we didn't elect any of these people who seem to be making these monumental decisions for us. Someone we did elect was Donald J. Trump. For better or for worse, you elect the president, they get to make those kind of calls. They're not expecting their Joint Chiefs of Staff to make a phone call to General Lee and start talking about how he has his back. It's inappropriate. Now, this is where it gets interesting, though, because Mark Milley was asked about this. And first, he talks about his job. He's going to tell us what his job is. Cut six, please.
With respect to the Chinese calls, I routinely communicated with my counterpart, General Lee, with the knowledge and coordination of civilian oversight. I am specifically directed to communicate with the Chinese by Department of Defense guidance, the policy dialogue system. These military-to-military communications at the highest level are critical to the security of the United States in order to deconflict military actions, manage crisis, and prevent war between great powers that are armed with the world's most deadliest weapons.
So he's trying to he's trying to convince us that this is all part of the gig. You know, this is my job. This is what you all have me here for, is to make these kind of phone calls to de-escalate these situations. If you read the excerpts from Peril, the book, you know that even Alexander Vindman thought that this was a wild move by Mark Milley. So the gaslighting aspect of this, trying to convince us that we're all the crazy ones, we're misreading what he did. It wasn't treasonous. It wasn't, you know, Benedict Arnoldinian. It was just the average thing you do in this situation. That's bogus. Because once you lose like Alexander Vindman, you've lost the crazy left. And so they're not even buying that idea. Of course, now, I think a lot of people have convinced themselves, really Trump deranged people like Joe Scarborough, convinced themselves that he had no choice. You know, this was the brave thing to do. Trump was a madman. I would just like to remind everyone that Donald Trump didn't start any wars. Do you remember any presidents in recent history who didn't start any wars besides Donald Trump? Probably not. But he never gets credit for that. We're supposed to believe that he was this authoritarian dictator madman who had no idea what he was doing, when really he seems to create more peace than any president, at least in my lifetime. Now, let's hear how Milley explains this phone call. And this is the part where he kind of gave the game away. Cut 7.
I know, I am certain that President Trump did not intend to attack the Chinese. And it is my directed responsibility, and it was my directed responsibility by the secretary, to convey that intent to the Chinese. My task at that time
was to de-escalate. If he knew that Donald Trump did not intend to attack the Chinese, why would he call the Chinese and tell them everything's stable, you have nothing to worry about? Why not just not call them? If you know he doesn't have a plan to attack them, why are you calling them and trying to convince them he doesn't have a plan to attack them? Or why don't you just talk to him about it? That doesn't make any sense to me. And I just want to say, and I'm not the first one to point this out, if you're the Chinese, if you're the Chinese government, or if you're General Li, and you're sitting there not thinking that America has a plan to attack you, and then you get a call from this crazy man, Milley, telling you everything's 100% stable, we have no plans to attack you, aren't you kind of scratching your head going, thou doth protest too much? Does he have a plan to attack us? Why would he be calling? This is weird. Who is this? That's just the first thing that would, you know, that would come to mind for me. If someone called me up and said, hi, Grace, I have no plans on breaking into your house, I might lock my door that night. I might be like, that was weird that you called me about that. You just, it's protesting too much. And another part of this that really sheds light on what a liar Joe Biden is that Joe Biden told us when he sat down with George Stephanopoulos that none of these top military experts warned him to keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Let's play that. This is cut 9.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
Now, he saves himself with
that. That is false.
He saves himself with the that I can recall, because it's believable that he might not be able to recall a lot of things. But in this case, I think it's pretty obvious that Joe Biden just didn't listen to the advice. And today we had that confirmed. This is McKenzie, cut 10.
I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. And I also recommended earlier in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those are my personal views. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government.
Yes, so I understand that. And General Milley, I assume you agree with that in terms of the recommendation of 2,500?
What I said in my opening statement and the memoranda that I wrote back in the fall of 2020 remained consistent, and I do agree with that.
This committee is unsure as to whether or not General Miller's recommendation ever got to the president. You know, obviously, there are conversations with the president. Yeah, but I would like to ask, even though General McKenzie, I think you've all made this statement, did you talk to the president about General Miller's recommendation?
Sir, I was present when that discussion occurred. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that the president heard all the recommendations and listened to them very thoughtfully.
He listened. He just didn't take your advice. That's what you're saying, right? And then he lied about it on George Stephanopoulos' show
on
ABC. The same show where he said about the Afghans flying off the Air Force plane that happened like 5 or 6 days ago. So he's a liar. He's a liar. And it's confirmed. And nothing will happen. You know, the press won't ask about it. Jen Psaki will say, well, as you know, as we have said, no one gives any straight answers. And I have to mention this. I hate how Millie says, he's asked, did you give that recommendation? And what I said at the beginning of this, just say it again then. You know what I mean? Like all of this talk, all of this circling around. Yeah, that's okay that you said it before. But for the sake of the American people, I'd like to get a little soundbite. How's that? We'd like it in a soundbite. Did you recommend that they keep 2,500 troops there to Joe Biden? Yes. Did he hear you? Yes. Thank you. It's not rocket science. It's just answer the damn questions. It's very, very frustrating. And Joe Biden had so many recommendations that he keep 2,500 troops in there. And he didn't listen. And then 13 U.S. service members died. It's not like this did not have consequences. It did. When we get back, I'll take your calls on this. We're going to play some of this sound. 844-500-4242. Lloyd Austin came off looking terrible, by the way. Had no idea what he was talking about. It really did feel like amateur hour. Like these are the best we can do, these guys. They can't give any answers. At one point, a senator asked him a question. And it was just silence. And he goes, all right, so I'm going to take your silence as a no then. Because the maturity of these guys is what, like middle school level? You can't answer? I'm sorry. I wouldn't be so angry if the results of this incompetence weren't so tragic and so avoidable. That's the part of it that kills me, is that this didn't have to happen. And then at one point, Senator Cotton, which we'll play, asked Milley why he isn't resigned. And he actually has the gall to do a big tough guy puff out my chest monologue. Like he's in any position to be a hero right now. Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With over 100,000 sold and counting, the Thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. I love using the Thunderstorm, especially when I cook steak, which we are going to have tonight on the cast iron skillet. And this works really amazing. And yesterday I actually turned it on because sometimes after you take your trash out, just bringing it into the air kind of gets a stinky smell in the kitchen. So I just turn this on for 10 minutes and then it goes away. And the best part is, Jared, I do a lot of hits like Newsmax hits and stuff. You can't even hear it. It's dead silent.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about it. It's not this gigantic, loud, industrial fan.
Right.
Which is a huge thing with cords. No, it's a small unit. You just plug it in, you turn it on, you don't hear anything. And it starts ionizing the air, which creates that super oxygen, which gets rid of the allergens, the pollutants, all that nasty stuff that you don't want to be breathing. And it's not a constant hum in your house or your car.
Right. It's silent. You don't notice it. And right now you can buy one, get one free. So go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word Grace BOGO. Hurry. These will sell out quickly. So don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight. By the way, shipping is free. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more sound. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
She
She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Yes, my assessment was back in the fall of 20, and it remained consistent throughout, that we should keep a steady state of 2,500, and it could bounce up to 3,500, maybe something like that, in order to move toward a negotiated, gated solution.
We are going to run through all of these. That was General Mark Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff, trying to explain that, yes, he did recommend 2,500 troops stay in Afghanistan, but our leader just doesn't like to listen. And our leader wanted a photo op. That's what no one is saying, but that is the truth, is that Joe Biden wanted to have some sort of photo op on 9/11 where he looked like the big, cool, tough guy president who did a really good job, finally. And instead, he had nothing of the sort. It was a complete disaster. And then the craziest part is, if that wasn't enough damage, the 13 U.S. service members who gave their lives for something that was very avoidable, if that wasn't bad enough, then he orders a righteous drone strike and kills 10 more people. Because, again, they had to try to do damage control for the bad optics of this withdrawal. Joe Biden should be the one sitting there answering these questions. I don't consider George Stephanopoulos to be a Senate hearing, but I'm glad we have that interview because it is showing you the discrepancies. Maybe we'll call it that, you know, because God forbid we say what we all think, which is these people are liars. Instead, we can say, oh, they misspoke. Oh, they don't understand. Oh, there was some details missing. By the way, before I get to the Lloyd Austin here, I do want to read this tweet, because I know Howie's listening and Howie would be happy that people are talking about this. Rapid Roman responded to my tweet today about their show and said, please don't forget that a total of 7 climate change activists got more local media coverage for their protest in front of Baker's mansion this morning than the hundreds gathered on September 26th in front of the state house for a rally against the vaccine and mask mandates. We will ask Howie Carr about all of that in his segment. We actually might make it a little bit longer today for Howie because that pink boat in front of Baker's house has been the talk of the office today. All right, but we do have a lot of sound to get to here. Let's go to Lloyd Austin, who has a real tendency to brag about this airlift. He was the one who I believe called the airlift historic and heroic. And he's still patting himself on the back for this withdrawal, for this evacuation. Cut one.
Our soldiers, airmen, and Marines, in partnership with our allies and partners and our State Department colleagues, secured the gates, took control of airport operations, and set up a processing system for the tens of thousands of people they would be manifesting onto airplanes. They and our commanders exceeded all expectations. We plan to execute between 70 and 80,000, we plan to evacuate between 70 and 80,000 people. They evacuated more than 124,000.
A few things. One, he just confused execute with evacuate. Yikes. Two, the level of ego that you have to have, the amount of sheer ego to be bragging about what turned out to be one of the most embarrassing moments in United States history, that's beyond me. These people are in an alternate universe at this point. It's one thing to not resign and try to kind of fight through it, but to get out there and puff up your chest and want a round of applause when clearly what the American people want is answers for this. It takes a bold man. Let's also play cut three, please. Actually, you know, we're not going to have time here, so we'll hold off on that. But he starts talking about how it's the largest airlift in U.S. history, which is a common brag by all of these hacks. And later they are asked if this has damaged our credibility, the United States credibility. And Milley gives a really interesting answer to that as well. Surprisingly, Dick Blumenthal actually had some good remarks on this. We will be back with more 844-500-4242. A lot of great sound from these Senate hearings. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. For anyone who might have missed it, there are Senate hearings going on right now. General McKenzie, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and General McKenzie are all testifying before Congress on Afghanistan and the terrible withdrawal that took place there. They're trying their best to answer questions, but it's hard to answer questions when you are both trying to make sure you don't get blamed for anything and also cover for a 78-year-old man who is completely devoid of any reason or integrity. So they're really, their plate right now is very full. Now let's go to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the guy who runs that outfit. He had something to say about the airlift, which, in case you haven't heard this from Austin, from Psaki, this is like their go-to bragging line. Trump had some things he bragged about, you know, greatest economy, lowest black unemployment rate. He had some things that, you know, he helped all the media news networks get the highest ratings. He was a little braggadocio. He never got to the point where he had to brag about having the largest airlift in U.S. history. Cut three, please.
It was the largest airlift conducted in U.S. history, and it was executed in 17 days. Was it perfect? Of course not. We moved so many people so quickly out of Kabul that we ran into capacity and screening problems at intermediate staging bases outside Afghanistan. And we're still working to get Americans out who wish to leave. And we did not get out all of our Afghan allies enrolled in a special immigrant visa program. We take that seriously, and that's why we're working across the interagency to continue facilitating their departure.
The question, was it perfect, is not the standard. You know, nobody expects these things to be perfect. There's a difference between something not being perfect and being an utter and complete failure. And that's why you are all sitting in front of these senators and answering questions. Let's play the next Lloyd Austin here. This is cut four.
And tragically, lives were lost. Several Afghans killed climbing aboard an aircraft on that first day. 13 brave U.S. service members and dozens of Afghan civilians killed in a terrorist attack on the 26th. And we took as many as 10 innocent lives in a drone strike on the 29th. Non-combatant evacuations remain among the most challenging military operations, even in the best of circumstances.
He did run through a lot of the really, really tough stuff right there. Can I hear that one more time, Jared? It's a lot to get in there in a short amount of time. Go ahead, one more.
And tragically, lives were lost. Several Afghans killed climbing aboard an aircraft on that first day. 13 brave U.S. service members and dozens of Afghan civilians killed in a terrorist attack on the 26th. And we took as many as 10 innocent lives in a drone strike on the 29th.
I want to stop there. I find that phrasing interesting. We took as many as 10 innocent lives. I hate to break this to Lloyd Austin. We killed. That righteous drone strike killed 10 people. The words that they're using are very specific, and they're very purposeful. Let's play cut five, please, Jared.
And the circumstances in August were anything but ideal. Extreme heat, a landlocked country, no government, a highly dynamic situation on the ground, and an active, credible, and lethal terrorist threat. In a span of just 2 days, from the 13th to the 15th of August, we went from working alongside a democratically elected, longtime partner government to coordinating warily with a longtime enemy. We operated in a deeply dangerous environment.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't have to. And that's where the 2,500 troops comes into play. They're phrasing this like this was, you know, uncontrollable events that they just worked around in the best way possible. But Joe Biden, their boss, is the one who put them in this dangerous situation. Now, let's play some of the questions here, because this is where it gets very interesting. Senator Jim Inhofe, he's a Republican from Oklahoma, he was asking Millie and Austin about the numbers of people still trapped in Afghanistan. Now, if you go based off Blinken, you'll have a different number than if you go based off Austin. No one has the same number, you know, and what they've all learned from Jen Psaki is that you can just defer to other people and then no one actually ever has to give a number. You know, if you ask me a question, Jared, I talk a lot about how I wish I knew things when I was younger. But I wish I knew about deferring questions. You know, if your teacher says, did you do the homework? I appreciate that question. I will defer to my mom. She's not at home right now. She doesn't have a cell phone. So try to figure that out. I mean, if you could just keep deferring questions, if Howie Carr asked me a question, why didn't you get this done? I defer to Taylor. He will probably defer to Jared, and Jared will defer to Matt. And then no one has to answer the question. That's the first thing they do, is defer these things. And then the second thing they do is they always say, the investigation. You open up an investigation into something and you'll never have to talk about it again. Howie oftentimes says, if you want to hide something, stick it in the FBI's law books or stick it in, you know, whatever the expression is. But my whole thing is, if you want to not have to answer questions about anything, if you want to be able to get away from something the fastest you can, open an investigation. Because once an investigation is open, you do not have to go near it. Because you don't want to sacrifice or jeopardize the investigation, of course. Now, Inhofe is asking Millie and Austin about the numbers here. Cut 12.
How many American citizens, is your opinion, are still there? Just go down the line, each one of you. Anyone?
Senator, I would defer to the State Department for that assessment. That's a dynamic process. They've been contacting the civilians that are in Afghanistan. And
these people, I know I said this yesterday, but I'm saying it again today. This is what the mailroom manager calls the runaround. This is what your teenagers do when they crash the car and they don't want to tell you the truth. They start spinning yarn. They're not saying anything.
I refer to him because, you know, the numbers of this and the calculations and the coagulations, and that's how this all happened.
You're not actually saying anything. And how about, no more deferring. Okay, no more deferring. We're asking you. Pull the old, let's pretend Jean Curley, my mom's in charge of this. She would say, no. I'm asking you, answer the question. You're not deferring to your friend. You're not deferring to Millie. You're not deferring to another department. You're here. You're in charge. The buck stops. We know it doesn't stop with Joe Biden. It stops with you guys, apparently. The buck stops enough with you for all of you guys to be making questionable decisions. For Mark Miller to be calling up his Chinese counterparts, you can answer the questions. You don't need to defer to anyone. The deferring ends. I should be at this thing. Jeez. At least I'd yell a little bit. These people need to let off some steam. Okay, so the deferring continues. Let's do cut 13, please, Jared.
Do all of you agree that Secretary of State Blinken, when he made his analysis as to how many people would be here, but would still be there, he talked about the 10 to 15,000 citizens left behind, and then evacuated some 6,000. That would mean a minimum of 4,000 would still be there now. Would anyone disagree with that? By your silence, I assume you agree.
I personally don't believe that there are 4,000 American citizens still left in Afghanistan, but I cannot confirm or deny that, Senator.
So you think Secretary of State was probably wrong in his analysis?
Why would he be able to confirm or deny it? He's only the defense secretary in the United States of America. Why would he be able to do it? Why would General Mark Milley be able to tell us anything? Why would Joe Biden be able to know what people told him a few days before he decided to withdraw from Afghanistan? Why do we have such high expectations for these experts, for these leaders in the military? That's on us. That's our problem. You know what sound we need to get is the Bueller sound. Bueller. Bueller. I'm telling you, they need a fierce, angry mom in this hearing because someone needs to say, no more BS. No. Answer the question. Thank you very much. We need Biden's handlers to get in there. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's amazing to me. The silence. They don't answer. That would drive me insane. Hello? Anybody home? Anybody want to answer? 13 dead U.S. service members. You think you owe it to people to talk at the very least? Let's play the next one. This is Senator Roger Wicker. Cut 14, please, Jared.
Now, I think you were right, General Milley, when you advised that our credibility would be damaged. Our credibility has been gravely damaged, has it not, General Milley?
I think that our credibility with allies and partners around the world and with adversaries is being intensely reviewed by them to see which way this is going to go. And I think that damage is one word that could be used, yes.
Come on, man.
It's gymnastics, the way they dance around something. It's like they're trying to avoid people like me getting a soundbite from them. And it's so obvious. The way they tiptoe and tap dance around these questions.
Well, yes, I do believe that you could use words of that nature if you did feel that that was the way, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Huh? Is that a yes? I think what you're getting at is, yes, our credibility is damaged. These people, I think they've all been watching Jen Psaki on repeat for the last few months. They've been sockified. It's really, really alarming. And one of my favorites was Tom Cotton. Senator Tom Cotton asked Mark Milley why he hasn't resigned, which is a question I have for all of the people who spoke today. And his response was just as obnoxious as you'd think. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite way to spend the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill?
All right, so I heard Howie talking about tree equity yesterday, and I was like, why is he talking about this? This is kind of old news. But I didn't realize it's part of this huge $3.5 trillion, also, though, free infrastructure, human infrastructure bill. And there was a lot of different things that were included in this, which I just became privy to this morning. And I know what you think. You hear $3.5 trillion, you think, oh, this is going to be a lot of waste. Au contraire. This is money well spent. Give them a little taste, Jared, of what they're going
to
get.
All right. Would you like the money to be spent for the Civilian Climate Corps, tree equity, more money for the IRS, electronic voting machines for union elections, or anti-bias training in the healthcare industry?
Well, if the IRS was going to take that, I think it's $79 billion in extra funds and create an MSNBC division where they could get some of these hosts to pay their taxes, I would support the IRS getting more money. But out of all of these things, I'm going to say tree equity.
Tree equity is in the lead at 44%. More money for the IRS is second place, 21%, 14% for anti-bias training in the healthcare industry, 12% for the Civilian Climate Corps, and only 9% want the money to go to electronic voting machines for union elections.
Tree equity. I mean, that's something. By the
way, lives matter.
I keep mentioning that all of these experts and top military officials are not answering any of the questions that the senators are asking them. And I keep mentioning my mom and saying, you know, if I was a kid answering questions like this, she would not put up with that. I should also mention it's my mom's 60th birthday today. So happy birthday to Jean. I hope you're listening. Best mom in the world. Let's play a little bit more of this sound here. I want to hear from Senator Tom Cotton, who always does a wonderful job. He always comes prepared to these things. And he asked Mark Milley the question that Howie and I have been asking for a few months now. This is Cut 16.
Just got one final question. General Milley, I can only conclude that your advice about staying in Afghanistan was rejected. I'm shocked to learn that your advice wasn't sought until August 25th on staying past the August 31 deadline. I understand that you're the principal military advisor, that you advise, you don't decide, the president decides. But if all this is true, General Milley, why haven't you resigned?
Senator, as a senior military officer, resigning is a really serious thing. It's a political act if I'm resigning in protest. My job is to provide advice. My statutory responsibility is to provide legal advice or best military advice to the president.
Hold on a second. Wait a tick. Your primary job is to provide military advice for the president. That's your primary job under President Joe, decency, normalcy, ushering in unity, Biden. But what about under President Trump? Because when it was President Trump, you thought your job was to call China and make sure they knew that there wasn't going to be any sort of attack on them and that you'd have their back. So which one is it? Do you have different jobs depending on the president? And I love how Mr. White Rage is suddenly saying that would be political. Oh, it'd be too political for you, Mark Milley? Pardon me while I laugh in your face. Completely insane. Maisie Hirono also got involved in this. She's always good for a soundbite. This is Cut 17. Cut 17? We might be waiting on the computer there.
But on this matter, on the biggest national security fiasco in a generation, there has been zero accountability, no responsibility from anybody. So I will ask this final question of all of you. Senator Cotton talked about
Sullivan,
it. Madam Chair, if I may.
Could you submit your question for the record, please? We're trying to keep to a five-minute questioning round. You can ask the question in your second round if you'd like.
You can hear the disdain in her voice for him. Oh, why? Because he's asking for accountability for one of the most embarrassing and avoidable situations in the United States history? Oh, I'm sure that really bothers Senator Maisie Hirono. Why are you asking all these questions, Senator? We'll be back with a lot more and a little Greta Thunberg on the other side.